From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let me welcome you to this broadcast today, and thank you for joining with us. We're going to start off with reading from the Scriptures, the Word of God, and we're going to read from the opening book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter. Genesis chapter 3, and the verse 1, and there we read, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
We pray God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to have a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank the Lord for the living scriptures of truth. We ask, O God, that as we consider thy word, Lord, that you will be pleased to speak to each and to all. Lord, we pray the word of God might have free course and be glorified. And Lord, that the word of God will take a dealing with all of our hearts, we pray. Answer prayer, and glorify thy name. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. The book of Genesis opens with a description of God's perfect creation. A picture of a perfect world, a picture of peace and a picture of happiness and unparalleled beauty. Everything that God made was good, even man himself, because he was made in the image of God. All in this world was made good, was perfect, man included, because he was created not in sin but in perfect righteousness before God, totally inclined to God and away from sin. But as we come into Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam falling from that state of perfection and holiness. He listens to the lies of the devil. He listens to the deception of the serpent. And at the end of verse number 6 in chapter 3, we read how that Adam ate the fruit that was forbidden, and in so doing fell into sin. This third chapter of the book of Genesis is all important, not just because of man's fall into sin, but also because of God's promise then of a Savior from sin. Because in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 15, we have the first gospel promise. We have the evangelical message to a sinful world, the promise of the Redeemer, that promise that runs throughout all of Scripture, that theme of redemption that runs throughout the entire Word of God. It begins here in Genesis 3, just after man had sinned. Genesis, therefore, is a book of beginnings. Every doctrine, every teaching, every truth of God has its seedbed in the book of Genesis. It's a book of beginnings. It's a book of firsts. The first man, the first woman, the first sin. And in verse number 9 of Genesis chapter 3, we have the first question. There we read in Genesis chapter 3 in the verse number 9, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And it's this first question that we want to consider in this broadcast today. I want you to see, first of all, the circumstances which prompted this question. Adam realized he had sinned. That which Satan had told him about in verse number 5, about a knowledge of good and evil, was tragically fulfilled. And their innocence had been lost. The paradise that God had created was marred. Man had fallen out of fellowship with God, and sin had made him ashamed. And they felt ashamed of what they had done. And they felt ashamed, and they were trying to cover up their sinfulness by making what they believed to be a proper and sufficient covering for their sin in the sewing together of the fig leaves to cover themselves. You see, they realized their sin, and they tried by their own efforts to cover their sin, to hide their sin. But the reality is that sin cannot ever be hidden from God. You may try to hide your sin from others. You may try to hide your sin from those around you, even those closest to you. But you will never hide
your sin from the all-seeing eye of God. He sees right into your heart. He knows exactly the state of your heart and how you stand before Him. The question, therefore, must be asked, how do you stand before the Lord? As you listen to this broadcast, as the Lord looks into your heart right now, what does He see? Does He see a heart still stained with sin, a heart still black with sin? If so, there is a remedy. There is an answer. And that answer is found alone in the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the promised Savior from sins, the one who came to release, and the one who came to set us free from the guilt and the condemnation of sin. And so in these circumstances of man falling into sin, the Lord came and asked this question to our first parents, "Where art thou?" Why did God ask such a question? Is He not all-knowing? Did He not know where Adam and Eve were at that particular time? Well, God does not ask questions because He needs information. He asks questions for our good and to give us an opportunity to face the facts, to be honest with ourselves, and to confess our sins unto Him. In Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 9, God asked Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Not asking, wanting to know because he didn't know, but rather wanting him to own up to the reality of his sin. And the same is true here in Genesis 3 and 9. This question, what you see, was not about the geographical location of Adam, but rather it concerned the spiritual condition of Adam. It concerned as to where Adam was spiritually. And God wanted Adam to be brought face to face with his sin. He wanted Adam to own up to what he had done. He wanted Adam to admit that he was wrong. How did he get there? Yes, because he had sinned. But also because he had refused to subject himself to the will of God for his life. He thought he knew better. He believed that his option, his plan was better than God's plan. His way was better than God's way. He thought he knew more than God. He thought he knew better than God. And furthermore, he believed the lies of the devil more than the truth of God. He believed that he was the kingmaker in his life. He refused to subject himself to the will of God. Isn't that the picture of the sinner? The sinner thinks they're better than God. They know more than God. They don't need God in their hearts and their lives. They listen to the lies of the devil when he says you can live without God, you can live without the gospel of saving grace. You don't need God. And yet you believe the lies of the devil. You live without God. You die without God. You'll be lost in hell for all eternity without Him. Maybe today you think you can work out your own salvation in your own way. You think you know a better way than God's way. You believe you don't need this experience of the new birth. You don't need God's way of salvation. You don't need faith in Jesus Christ alone to get you to heaven your way in your time. Yet the Scriptures tell us that no man cometh unto the Father, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, but by Me. But God comes and asks that question today, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" And today the Lord asks that question of you. Where are you? Not where you are you geographically, but where are you spiritually? How do you stand before God today? Is it well with your soul? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been that time when you've trusted Him and Him alone for salvation? Or are you still far from God? You still separated from God because of your sin? If so, then today there is a Savior. There is one who's able to save you from your sin and bring you back into that right relationship with God. His name is Jesus Christ. There's the circumstances that prompted this question. But I want us to see a little more about this question and notice now the characteristics that distinguished this question. Let's notice some things about this question itself. When the Lord said to Adam, "Where art thou?" It was a powerful question, first of all. It was asked by God, and any question asked by him, he does so for a reason. He does so with power, and he does so with authority. This was not the creature asking a question of the Creator. Rather, this was the Creator God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God, asking a question, and in that, there is a great sense of power and authority. But we also see its power in how it aroused the conscience of Adam. Because Adam had been trying to hide from God. Adam had been trying to run from God. He should have been running to God and seeking God's forgiveness and seeking God's mercy. He should have cried unto God and pleaded with him to forgive him of the terrible sin that he has just committed. Adam should have sought out his Maker, but rather he ran from him. He fled from God. God came to man. Man did not come to God. Such was the depravity of sin that he had fallen into. But such was the mercy of God that God came seeking the sinner. And with this question, his understanding has been opened to see just how they stood before God. They couldn't hide from God as they thought. It was a powerful question because it was intended to awaken Adam out of his sin, to stir the depths of his heart and awaken him to the danger that he is in. Where art thou? Look at yourself, Adam. You're sinful, you're stubborn heart. Look how you're lost and you're ruined and you're on your way to hell. Where art thou? Well, that today as you listen to this broadcast, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, may you by the Holy Spirit be awakened to see the awful danger that you're in. Awakened to see the awful condition of your heart right now that you're out of Christ. You're under God's condemnation. And how that you need to cry to Him and to Him alone for salvation. Where are you, sinner? Where is the sinner in their state before God? Scripture tells us that they're condemned under the wrath of God for sin. The wrath of God abiding upon your head. And it's only by the mercy of God that that wrath has not fallen upon you yet. And I say in love to your soul, awaken. Awaken out of that state and get to Christ. Get up and get to the Savior. Don't run from Him any longer. Run to Him. Get to Christ and be saved. This question, it was a powerful question. But we see as well it was a personal question. It was addressed to Adam personally. He spoke personally as well to Eve in verse 13. This was addressed personally. You see, whenever God speaks, He does so personally. He does so individually. This is not a question for someone else. This is not a question for someone in your family or someone in your neighborhood. This is a question for you. This is a question that you need to answer. This is a question that the Lord asks of you personally. Because you see, salvation is a very personal thing. Each person in this world needs to have that personal saving relationship with God. Maybe there are others in your family that are saved. Well, that's not enough for you. That's not enough to save your soul. Salvation is a very personal thing, and you personally need to be saved. You personally need to confess your sin, repent and turn from your sin, and you personally need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to save you. This was a personal question. This was a powerful question. But I want you to see as well that it was a pertinent question. It was appropriate for God to ask such a question at that particular time. He didn't need to ask the question in chapter 2. Adam was still in that right relationship with God. But now that that fellowship was broken, now that that communion had been marred with God, this was the right and the proper question that should be asked. You see, the arrows of the Word of God are always pointed to us at the right time. You're not listening to this broadcast just by chance. You're listening to this broadcast, hearing this message from God today. In the divine providence of God, this is the question that needs to be asked. But as well as that, it necessitated an answer. An answer had to be given. This question was pertinent. It was suitable. It was right up to date. Oh, it matters not about the past. It matters not about what you've done in the past or what you will do in the future. It matters now. How are you before God? It concerns the here and now. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? What have you done with His offer of salvation in the gospel? The Lord came into this world, the promised Messiah that was promised in Genesis 3:15, that was prophesied throughout all of the Old Testament. He was fulfilled in His coming into this world. Ultimately, that brings us to the cross. That brings us to the place of Calvary where the Lord Jesus Christ died and shed His blood. Why? That you, the sinner, we, the sinner, might be saved from our sin. Where art thou? How do you stand before Him as you listen to this broadcast today? There are the circumstances which prompted this question. There are also the characteristics that distinguished this question. But I want us to notice as well now the comeback that reacted to this question. Because in verse number 10, the very next verse, we read of Adam saying, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." I heard thy voice and was afraid. You see, this is how Adam reacted to this question. This was his comeback. But you know, as you read through these verses and see the comeback, the response that Adam made, you can't help but notice that Adam really had no comeback at all. He had no answer for God. He couldn't adequately answer the question that had been posed to him. He tried to answer, but all he could say was, "I was afraid." But this wasn't a fear that drove him to God. This was a slavish fear that drove him away from God. This was not a holy fear which should have brought him to the Lord. This was a mortal fear that took him away from God. Verse number 12, we read how that he blames Adam, or blames Eve, and then he blames God. In verse number 12, he says, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." He makes God an accessory to his crime and to his sinful ways. He blames God for his sin. He blames God for the temptation that he placed in his way. Therefore, in a very warped manner, he says to God, God was guilty of causing him to sin. Oh, how depraved he really had become. How fallen he really was. God is not the author of sin. God will never tempt any man to sin. God did not create sin, and we must never lay such an accusation at the door of Almighty God. You see, what Adam is doing here, he's pointed the finger at everybody else, but not willing to own up to his own sin. Everybody else was wrong, but not him. Well, they all needed to be asked that question, but not him. He, as far as he was concerned, had done nothing wrong. You see, that's what sin does. It dulls our senses, it dims our spiritual light, and when we're confronted with our sin, we can try to cover it up by making an excuse and think that makes it all right. Oh, here was the seeking voice of God searching out the sinner, calling to him in love and mercy. And yet here was Adam still trying to cover up his sin. How long have you been trying to cover up your sin? How long have you been trying to hide your sin? Remember, while you may hide it from others, you'll never hide it from God. He sees your heart. He looks into your heart. And today as he comes seeking, he comes calling. He comes desiring that you would own up to the sin of your life. And in mercy and in love, he calls to you. He is the seeking Savior. He's the searching Savior. And praise God, he is the one who will save. He calls to you to leave your sin and to turn to Jesus Christ. He's searching. He's seeking. Don't miss the Savior. Oh, don't fool yourself any longer and think that all is well with you. Don't think that everything will be well with you when it comes your time to die. If you live in sin, you'll die in sin. You'll be in hell for all eternity without Christ because of your sin. But rather today, come to Jesus Christ. Where art thou? Where art thou? How do you stand before God? Where are you today before God? This first question to this first sinner is asked to you today. Are you saved? Do you know Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been that time when you've trusted Him and Him alone for salvation? Or are you still under the wrath and the condemnation of God for your sin? If so, then don't hide it anymore. Don't run from the Lord, but run to Him. Get to Him today. We'll bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the searchlight of Scripture. We thank Thee, O God, today for the Word of God. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the voice of God. And, O God, we pray that that voice, Lord, will be heard to all who've been listening to this broadcast today. And, Lord, those listening still out of Christ, still in their sin, O God, we pray that they might hear the voice of the Lord calling to them, "Where art thou?" And that today, having heard the voice of the Lord, that they will run to the Lord today and be saved and accept Him and Him alone for salvation. Bless Thy word, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.